This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9, Tuesday, July 7th, 2026. I'll tell you, Mondays are a lot tougher when they come right off of long holiday weekends. It takes a bit longer to get readjusted to everything, especially if you had Friday off. You had all that nice, relaxing time throughout the weekend, and then it just hits you right in the face again as soon as you get back to work on Monday morning. So glad you survived yet another Monday. We're into Tuesday now. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. 405-608-4377 if you want to be part of the show today, 405-608-4377. And we do have a whole bunch we want to talk about today. Four people are facing charges after police found 20 pounds of meth and more than 500 animals in a drug bust. The latest on that case that's overwhelming the Oklahoma City Animal Shelter. An elderly woman is dead after being mauled by a dog she was caring for. Three people are killed in a head-on crash. What police say led to that tragedy. A body is discovered in the Oklahoma River, the latest on that investigation. There's a new sheriff in town. Cleveland County's new sheriff takes the oath and promises some big changes. We'll talk a bit about that. A plan to increase your children's recess time at school is already causing some problems. The concerns coming up. The U.S. Supreme Court took up several gun cases before adjourning. How those affect you on this 2A Tuesday. Plus your calls and comments and your dad joke of the day. We got a whole bunch we want to cover, but first, your Freedom 96 First News headlines. Four men are now facing felony charges after a major raid at a South Oklahoma City home uncovered more than 20 pounds of methamphetamine and hundreds of neglected animals. Investigators say the suspects were arrested during a June 25th search of the property on South High Avenue. Prosecutors have charged each with aggravated drug trafficking and acquiring proceeds from drug activity. Court records say two of the men admitted to living in the home, while another two acknowledged knowing that meth was being sold out of the house. Officers also seized more than $9,500 in cash. Although city officials say many of the more than 500 rescued animals were found in poor health, no animal cruelty charges have been filed yet so far. An 86-year-old woman has died after being attacked by a family dog that she was temporarily caring for and more. Police say officers responded to the home near Northeast 27th Street and Highland Drive on Thursday evening, where they found the woman with life-threatening injuries. Officers began life-saving efforts before paramedics rushed her to the hospital, where she later died. Investigators say the dog belonged to a family member, and the dog has now been taken into the custody of the Moore Animal Control while the investigation continues. Three were killed, two others injured in a head-on crash on Saturday night in Rogers County. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says the collision happened around 9:30 on U.S. Highway 169 near East 300 Road when two vehicles, including one pulling a boat, crashed head-on. Troopers identified the victims as 21-year-old Ryan Lawfer of Sepulpa, 22-year-old Aiden Jones of Wagner, and 17-year-old from Kiefer. A fourth passenger in their vehicle survived with injuries, and another person in the other vehicle was also hurt. The cause of that crash remains under investigation. Oklahoma Highway Patrol is releasing new details about a June crash that claimed the life of 16-year-old Ardmore Teen. Troopers say the teen was riding a Honda ATV when he crashed into the back of another ATV that had slowed down to speak with the driver of an oncoming Jeep near the crest of a hill on Lone Grove. The impact threw the teen into the path of the Jeep, where he suffered fatal injuries. The two other drivers were not hurt. That crash remains under investigation by OHP's Traffic Homicide Unit. Authorities are investigating after a body was discovered in the Oklahoma River on Monday afternoon. Officials say a fisherman spotted the body near Southwest 15th Street and Southwestern Avenue. Oklahoma City Fire Department's dive team recovered the remains, which investigators say appear to have been in the water for an extended period of time. The victim has not yet been identified. The Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office will determine the cause and manner of death. UConn police are investigating after a woman was struck by gunfire during Freedom Fest on Sunday night at Chisholm Trail Park. Officers responded around 10 o'clock. They found a woman suffering from a gunshot wound near a parked event trolley. She was treated at the scene and taken to the hospital. Police believe the shot could have come from up to 2 miles away as someone fired a gun up into the air in celebration. Around the same time, officers also responded to a fight on the other side of the park, but investigators say the two incidents do not appear to be connected. Police have not announced any arrests, and both investigations remain ongoing. An 18-year-old El Reno man remains in critical condition after suffering a gunshot wound to the head, and his family is questioning what happened. Police say officers found no evidence of foul play and believe the June 22nd shooting was at an apartment complex was accidental. But Brody Falaji's mother says doctors have raised concerns about whether his injuries are consistent with an accidental shooting. Brody recently graduated from high school and faces a long recovery with multiple surgeries ahead. His family hopes the investigation continues as they seek answers and try to raise money for medical expenses. A new chapter is underway for the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office as Daryl Weaver was officially sworn in as sheriff on Monday. Weaver takes over an agency working to rebuild after years of financial controversy and the resignation of former Sheriff Chris Amison following his no-contest plea to embezzlement. Just hours before the swearing-in, Undersheriff Mike Finley also resigned after 21 years with the agency. Weaver says he's evaluating the agency from top to bottom and plans to soon name a new undersheriff and jail administrator as he works to restore stability and rebuild public trust. About 95% of the roughly 30,000 OG&E customers who lost power during the July 4th weekend storms now have electricity restored. Crews continue working to reconnect the remaining customers in the hardest hit areas in Cleveland County, and they'll be back on hopefully by this evening. The storms brought down trees and power lines across parts of central Oklahoma, prompting Governor Kevin Stitt to declare a state of emergency for Cleveland and Washington counties. With dangerous heat settling in, OG&E has opened up cooling centers for those without electricity, while state officials and volunteer crews continue cleanup and debris removal efforts. In Norman, roughly 6,000 customers are still without power this morning, leaving many businesses closed and facing significant losses. Restaurant owners say spoiled food, lost revenue, and employees missing paychecks are taking a heavy toll. City crews continue clearing up debris and restoring traffic signals and other infrastructure, while OG&E expects electricity to be fully restored later today. Norman officials say cleanup efforts will continue even after the lights come back on again. Residents in parts of McLean County are being urged to conserve water after 4th of July storms knocked out a well serving rural water district 8 near Wayne. Officials say lightning damaged the system, leaving some customers without water or with low pressure and prompting a precautionary boil advisory. The district says water service is gradually being restored and meets state safety standards, but some residents remain concerned about longstanding water quality issues. There is no timetable yet for full restoration. 74 degrees under sunny skies at 7:14. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. A new Oklahoma law doubling daily recess for elementary school students is forcing some school districts to rethink their schedules. Beginning this school year, students in kindergarten through fifth grade must get at least 40 minutes of recess each day. At the same time, the State Department of Education says recess will no longer count toward required instructional hours, meaning that some districts may have to lengthen the school day or even add days to meet state requirements. Supporters say more recess helps students to focus, while critics argue that it creates scheduling challenges and reduces classroom learning time. A major administrative shakeup is underway at Edmond Public Schools after the district renewed contracts for top administrators and then informed them that many of their positions are being eliminated. At least 10 administrators have been affected, with some moved into newly created jobs, while others accepted separation agreements or were forced into retirement. Taxpayers have already paid nearly $90,000 in settlements to two former administrators, while additional agreements are still pending. District leaders say the restructuring is part of a deal that Superintendent Josh Delek's reorganization plan, which critics argue is the timing unfairly left employees with very little notice, despite already having renewed contracts. Edmond City leaders are considering using most of voter-approved 10-year capital improvement sales tax to overhaul busy Covell Road corridor from Santa Fe Avenue on over to I-35. Engineers say five of the city's 10 most congested intersections are along Colville, where traffic crashes and deteriorating pavement continue to increase. The project could cost up to $100 million, consuming most of the expected sales tax revenue through 2037. Supporters say the improvement would ease congestion across North Edmond, but would also leave funding for only a handful of other road projects. If you still have some leftover fireworks from the 4th of July, better not light them up in Mustang. The city has ended its temporary holiday exception that allowed fireworks within city limits. That means using fireworks in Mustang is now illegal, even if they weren't used because of bad weather over the holiday weekend. Anybody caught setting off fireworks can receive a citation and face fines as the city resumes its year-round ban. A lawsuit stemming from the 2025 ammonia leak in Weatherford has been put on hold until at least January of 2027. A Custer County judge says the case will remain paused while the National Transportation Safety Board completes its investigation into the leak, which hospitalized 74 people and forced hundreds of people to evacuate. Attorneys representing victims say the delay means that families seeking compensation for medical bills and other damages will have to wait even longer. The lawsuit accuses Airgas and other companies of negligence, claims they denied. Several Oklahoma legislative races are headed to Republican runoff elections in August, with campaign finance reports showing current lawmakers, political action committees, and major donors investing thousands back into their preferred candidates. The outcome could shape the makeup of the legislature ahead of the 2027 session and influence the next governor's agenda. High-profile donors, including the State Chamber of Oklahoma, Sue Ann Arnall, and House Pro Tem Anthony Moore, have poured money into key races, while several candidates have also heavily self-funded their own campaigns. Well, like we mentioned, a new Oklahoma law doubles daily recess for elementary students to at least 40 minutes per day, but that's also creating a lot of challenges for schools. Because recess will no longer count toward required instructional hours, some districts may also have to lengthen the school day or even add school days to try to meet state requirements. So what are your thoughts on this? We want to hear from you at 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. Do you think kids need more recess time, even if that means adding days to the school year? Now, kids clearly need the exercise, but given our school rankings, they also need more classroom time. So do we sacrifice one for the other, or do we start dipping into their summer vacation time? What's the right answer for you? We want to hear from you. It's 74 degrees outside right now under sunny skies at 718, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Got a couple of issues. The first one, westbound I-40 near Tinker involving an overturned cattle hauler. Expect lane closures there. Also, Highway 152 at Newcastle on the way to the airport.
When it comes to freedom, size matters. Your 100,000-watt voice of freedom. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom96.9.com and on the Freedom app.
I want to introduce you to a great connection. Stephen Smith, owner of ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, nobody wants to spend hours cleaning floors, so how does ICS make it easier?
Yeah, our Pentek coatings are incredibly low maintenance. They resist oil, grease, and chemical stains, so spills wipe up easily. A quick sweep or mop keeps your floor looking showroom new, whether it's a garage, patio, or a basement.
That's a huge time saver. So how do these floors hold up over time?
They're built to last. We have a manufacturer lifetime warranty for all of our customers. Our Pentek coatings are four times stronger than epoxy, so they stay tough and beautiful for years.
Easy and durable. Love it. Sounds like a dream floor. How can listeners get started?
Just call us for a free estimate, and we'll handle the rest in just one day.
Get a hassle-free floor with ICS Concrete Coatings. Call 405-403-4012 or go to icsconcretecoatings.com, 405-403-4012, or visit icsconcretecoatings.com to get your free estimate today.
Hey, have you noticed over time your ability to be intimate just gets less? I mean, suddenly you wake up and things don't work anymore. Let's face it, dealing with erectile dysfunction is not easy, but it's not hard. Hi, this is Greg with your Ultimate Men's Clinic. The effects of ED are no joke. They lead to problems, especially in new relationships and throughout existing relationships. You know you have a problem, and it's always in your head. Look, ED never gets better left untreated. No matter what your situation or medical condition, for only $49, you'll receive a blood test, review our state-of-the-art treatment options. You'll see results that same day, or your office visit is free. Imagine never having to worry about the fear and embarrassment of not being able to perform again. You can leave with medication that same day. So what are you waiting for? Call 405-896-3000. That's 896-3000, or on the web at menofokc.com. That's menofokc.com. And remember, when it comes to being a man, go ultimate.
Knowledge is power. Combine that with 100,000 watts of power, and you've got the most important talk station in Oklahoma. We're the new Freedom 96.9 and freedom969.com.
It's Brian Kilmeade.
And this does bother me as a citizen. It bothers me that George Soros' super PAC can put $100 million in and a Republican, the Kochs, can do the same thing. It does bother me a little on the surface. And I'd better for everybody if there were limits and it would actually free politicians to not be subservient to the people that put them into office.
The Brian Kilmeade Show, weekdays 8 to 11 a.m. on the new Freedom 96.9. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Well, good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9. Taking a quick check on your weather today. Mostly sunny. It's going to be a hot one, 94 degrees for a high. Tonight, clear, humid, low of 71. On Wednesday, mostly sunny, high going up to 99 degrees. Then on Thursday, partly sunny, another hot day, high of 100 degrees. Right now, it's sunny and 74 degrees at 722. Well, a new Oklahoma law doubles daily recess for elementary school students to 40 minutes. But because recess no longer counts toward instructional time, some school districts may have to extend their school day or even add days to meet state requirements. So what are your thoughts on this? Do kids need to see their recess time doubled, even if that means adding more days to the school calendar? I mean, it's no secret we've got a child obesity problem in this country and that exercise will certainly do them good. But we also have a reading, writing, and arithmetic problem here in Oklahoma. Is there a better way to be spending our time than in the classroom? What do you think? We want to hear from you right now, 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377, if you want to be part of the conversation. This goes really way beyond recess. It touches on education. It touches on education philosophy, local control, unfunded mandates, teacher workloads, academic priorities. So there are a lot of major talking points and controversies here. What it boils down to is more recess time worth less classroom time. Supporters are saying, you know, children need more unstructured play to improve their focus, their behavior, their mental health, their social development. Those of us who have kids or grandkids know that they spend 99.96% of their time on their devices and very little time out running around like we used to do back when we were kids. I mean, how often do you see kids riding around on bicycles anymore or playing touch football in the street? Generally, they're on their devices. I know that my daughter, it used to drive me crazy. She would leave school, run home as quickly as she could so that she could go on social media and talk with the friends that she just left. And I would always be like, well, why don't you just stay there and talk with them face to face? And she's like, well, you just don't understand. No, clearly I don't. But kids don't go outside and play anymore like they used to. They don't have that level of physical activity before. And research suggests that students often learn better after physical activity, which seems kind of counterintuitive. You would think after going outside and playing dodgeball or kickball or whatever, they'd be too exhausted and too hot and too sweaty to want to actually be doing any real classwork. But research shows the opposite is true. Research shows that after they've been running around, after they get those endorphin levels up a little bit, they go back into the classroom, they're awake, they're ready, and they're eager to learn. Oklahoma students already spend a lot of long hours sitting in classrooms. they don't spend as much time out running around. So we're talking about jacking up that time from 20 minutes to 40 minutes. And as a kid, I don't remember exactly how much time we had for recess, but it seemed to me that it was longer than 20 minutes. Critics obviously say Oklahoma continues to struggle with reading and math proficiency. We hear those numbers all the time. Every additional moment of recess is a minute they're not spending on academics unless the school day is extended or unless it dips into summer vacation or other vacation time. And a lot of parents would rather see more instructional time than additional recess. And again, we're back and forth between the discussion of, do we want to see their brains turning to mush or do we want to see their waist turning to mush? Either way, we've got issues. The State Department has changed the rules. This will probably be the big controversy in and of itself. The law itself just simply requires 40 minutes of recess, but it doesn't really talk about how to afford the changes that are associated with that. So the State Department of Education then announced that recess will no longer count toward instructional hours, even though many districts had counted it that way for years, probably since we were kids. So critics argue that districts have already planned their calendars based on that old interpretation, and now they're receiving very little notice before the new school year to make some very dramatic changes. The policy change effectively created a second mandate that really wasn't clearly spelled out in the way the law is written. And it also calls for some financial issues. So supporters, obviously, they're saying that recess has never really been instruction. And it's not. It's kids running around. It's not kids learning. So is it really instruction? Should it count toward instruction? I would argue probably not. And it's always been questionable whether it should be. Is dodgeball instruction? Is kickball instruction? Is Red Rover instruction? Or is math and reading instruction? Call it what it is. It's not really instruction. But is this an unfunded mandate? A lot of superintendents are saying yes, it is. So schools will now have to potentially extend their school day in order to meet this criteria. They may have to add some school days. They may have to pay additional transportation costs for busing. They may have to increase payroll for teachers and support staff that are going to have to work longer days and probably more days. They're going to have to adjust those bus schedules. They're going to have to hire additional playground supervisors, potentially. The legislature didn't provide any additional funding for these specific changes. And this could also lead to, obviously, teacher contract issues. The longer days could require renegotiating teacher contracts, additional compensation for teachers, new bargaining with local unions. I mean, there's a lot of balls in the air when you're talking about doing something like this, and it doesn't sound like it was very well thought out. It was just quickly pulling the trigger, and we'll see what happens. Districts are worrying that this is going to create unexpected labor costs where we didn't have those before. And then we're also talking about issues of local control versus state mandates. That's another reoccurring debate in Oklahoma. The critics are arguing local districts know what works best for their students. They know whether they need more recess time or more classroom time. And obviously, rural districts and urban districts have much different scheduling needs. And there's questions about whether the state is micromanaging these schools. So there's a lot of stuff to think about and a lot of stuff to consider here. And we've still got a lot that we want to talk about this morning. Four people are facing felony charges after a massive drug bust uncovered more than 20 pounds of methamphetamine and hundreds of neglected animals. We'll have the latest on that investigation. Plus, U.S. Supreme Court wrapped up with a bunch of different gun rulings. We'll talk about that, too. Stick around.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. Republican leaders are getting pressure from pro-life groups to commit to defunding Planned Parenthood. The terrorist group Hamas claims it will hand over governance of the Gaza Strip to a U.S.-backed interim administration. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pushed back on Vice President Vance's remarks regarding Israeli officials' criticism of the Trump administration's peace deal with Iran. NASA's testing a new Mars rover prototype designed to think on its own and navigate extreme terrain far faster than previous spacecraft. New travel trends appear to be redefining when airlines' moneymaker months are.
The changing airline landscape comes as more travelers are choosing to fly in the fall and other cooler, cheaper times of the year. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Jeremy Thurman with McIntyre Law with your McIntyre Minute.
A denial letter from an insurance company can make you feel like a door is slamming in your face. It's final. It's over. It's official. I want you to understand something. It's not the final word unless you decide it is. Insurance companies write denial letters every day knowing that a significant percentage of people will accept them and walk away. They count on it. But behind most letters is a decision that can be challenged, sometimes through an internal appeal, sometimes through litigation, and in cases of bad faith, through a separate legal claim that can result in damages well beyond the original claim amount. I've seen my clients recover not just what they originally owed, but what additional damages because of how badly the insurance company handled their claim. Don't read a denial letter as the end of your story. Read it as a reason to call a lawyer. Call McIntyre Law at 777-7000 or visit McIntyreLaw.com. The first consultation is always free, and let us read that letter for you.
Catch our show, Legal Talk with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
And that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. A woman in Moore has died after being attacked by a dog she was caring for. Police say the 86-year-old woman was severely injured Thursday at a home near Northeast 27th and Highland Drive. Animal Control has taken custody of the dog, and authorities haven't released the victim's name as the incident remains under investigation. Well, power outages following the recent storms have created challenges for residents staying at Norman's homeless night shelter. Some residents say the lack of electricity has prevented them from using medical equipment, such as breathing treatments. City officials say they weren't aware of the outage until Sunday and have arranged for a generator while also asking OG&E to prioritize restoration for the facility. Residents say shelter staff have been providing ice and lanterns during the outage. Power is expected to be restored soon as repair work continues across multiple areas following extensive damage across the region. Every sheriff's office in Oklahoma will receive new funding through a statewide grant program. The $18 million initiative provides grants ranging anywhere from $150,000 to $300,000 for equipment, training, tech, staffing support, and other operational needs. All 77 counties will receive the funding. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
When it comes to your health coverage, one thing matters most, your choice. Health 65 believes you should have the liberty to choose a Medicare plan that fits your doctors, your budget, and your lifestyle. Our team will walk you through your options and help you make a decision that's right for you because it's your health and your call. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65 in Edmond. Call me or start planning today at Health 65. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Hey, I'm Dr. Tony with Be Well Acupuncture. I know how exhausting it can be to live with pain. Whether it's neuropathy, arthritis, or sciatica, you deserve relief that helps you feel like you again. At Be Well Acupuncture, we take the time to listen and create a treatment plan that fits your life, your body, and your goals. Let's work together to help you move easier and feel better every day. Start your journey back to wellness. Call or visit BeWellOKC.com to schedule your consultation today.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. They're award-winning tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $3 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to put an end to your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other aggressive IRS actions. Find the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima Tax Relief today for a free consultation.
Call 800-357-6499. 800-357-6499. 800-357-6499.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today, expect mostly sunny skies with a high of 94. Tonight will be clear and humid with a low of 71. Tomorrow, anticipate partly sunny skies and toasty conditions with a high of 99. Thursday will bring partly sunny skies, breezy conditions, and hot weather with a high of 100. Friday will start breezy in the morning but turn hot with intervals of bright sunshine. Keep an eye out for a thunderstorm in the afternoon with a high of 98. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Catarina.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a good morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. It is 76 degrees at 7:36. That means it's time for your Freedom 96.9 dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, this weekend my wife's cat died.
Oh.
Yeah, it was kind of sad. I felt so bad, though. I got her another one just like it.
Yeah?
Yeah. She said, what am I supposed to do with two dead cats?
Oh.
So ungrateful.
I make soup.
That's right. Make some violins, right?
There you go.
Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines on Freedom 96.9. Well, four men are facing felony drug charges after a major drug raid in South Oklahoma City home uncovered more than 20 pounds of methamphetamine and more than 500 neglected animals. Investigators say the suspects were arrested during a June 25th search on South High Avenue. Each is now charged with aggravated drug trafficking and acquiring proceeds from drug activity. Court records say the two men admitted to living in the home, while another two men acknowledged they knew the meth was being sold there. Officers also seized more than $9,500 in cash. Although many of the rescued animals were found in poor health, prosecutors have not yet filed animal cruelty charges. An 86-year-old woman has died after being attacked by a family dog that she was temporarily caring for in Moore. Police say officers responded to the home near Northeast 27th Street and Highland Drive, where they found the woman suffering life-threatening injuries. Officers began life-saving efforts, and she was taken to the hospital, where she later died. Investigators say the dog belonged to a family member and has since been taken into the custody of the Moore Animal Control as the investigation continues. Three people were killed, two others injured during a head-on crash on Saturday night in Rogers County. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says two vehicles, including one pulling a boat, collided on U.S. Highway 169 near East 300 Road. The victims were identified as 21-year-old Ryan Lawfer of Sepulpa, 22-year-old Aiden Jones of Wagner, and a 17-year-old from Kiefer. A fourth passenger survived with injuries, along with one person inside the other vehicle. Troopers are continuing to investigate just what caused that crash. Oklahoma Highway Patrol, meanwhile, has released new details about a June crash that killed a 16-year-old Ardmore teen. Investigators say the teen was riding a Honda ATV when he struck the back of another ATV that had slowed down to speak with the driver of an oncoming Jeep near the crest of a hill of Lone Grove. The impact threw the teen into the path of the Jeep, causing fatal injuries. The other drivers were not hurt, and OHP's Traffic Homicide Unit continues its investigation. Authorities are investigating after a body was discovered on Monday afternoon in the Oklahoma River. A fisherman spotted the body near Southwest 15th Street and Southwestern Avenue. The Oklahoma City Fire Department dive team recovered the remains, which investigators believe had been in the water for an extended period of time. The victim has not yet been identified, and the medical examiner's office will determine the cause and manner of death. Yukon police are investigating after a woman was struck by gunfire during the Freedom Fest Sunday night at Chisholm Trail Park. Officers found the woman with a gunshot wound near a parked trolley. She was treated at the scene and taken to the hospital. Investigators believe the bullet may have come from someone firing a gun up into the air up to 2 miles away. A separate fight broke out elsewhere in the park, but police say the incidents are unrelated. No arrests have been made. An 18-year-old El Reno man remains in critical condition this morning after suffering a gunshot wound to the head, and his family is questioning investigators' conclusion that the shooting was accidental. Police say there is no evidence of foul play in the June 22nd shooting at an apartment complex, but Brody Filigi's family says doctors have questioned whether his injuries are consistent with an accidental shooting. The recent high school graduate faces multiple surgeries, and his family seeks answers and help with medical expenses. A new chapter is underway at the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office as Daryl Weaver was officially sworn in on Monday. Weaver takes over an agency that's trying to recover from years of financial controversy following former Sheriff Chris Amason's resignation after pleading no contest to embezzlement. Just hours before the ceremony, Undersheriff Mike Finley resigned after 21 years. Weaver says he's reviewing the department from top to bottom and plans to quickly appoint a new undersheriff and jail administrator. About 95% of the 30,000 OG&E customers who lost power during the Independence Day storms now have electricity restored. Crews continue working in the hardest hit areas of Cleveland County, where service is expected to return by later on this evening. Governor Kevin Stitt has declared a state of emergency for Cleveland and Washington counties with dangerous heat continuing. Cooling centers remain open while cleanup and debris removal continue. In Norman, roughly 6,000 customers remained without electricity this morning, leaving many businesses closed and seeing significant financial losses. Restaurant owners say they've lost thousands of dollars in spoiled food, while employees have missed work and paychecks. City crews continue restoring traffic signals and clearing storm debris. OG&E expects power to be fully restored by Tuesday, with cleanup continuing afterward. Well, residents in parts of McLean County are being asked to conserve water after lightning damaged a well in rural District 8 near Wayne during the holiday storms. Some customers remain without water or have very low pressure, and as a precautionary measure, a boil water advisory remains in effect. Officials say service is gradually improving and meets state safety standards, but some residents continue raising concerns about long-standing water quality issues. It's 76 degrees and sunny at 7:42. A new Oklahoma law doubling elementary school recess is forcing some districts to rethink their schedules. Beginning this school year, students in kindergarten through fifth grade must receive at least 40 minutes of recess daily. At the same time, the State Department of Education says recess will no longer count toward required instructional hours. That means some districts may have to lengthen the school day or add school days. Supporters say more recess improves learning, while critics argue that it reduces classroom instruction and creates costly scheduling challenges. A major administrative shakeup is underway at Edmond Public Schools after the district renewed contracts for several top administrators before eliminating many of their positions. At least 10 administrators have been affected, with some reassigned and others accepting buyouts or retiring. Taxpayers have already spent nearly $90,000 on two separation agreements, with more still pending. District leaders say the moves are part of superintendent's reorganization plan, while critics say that employees were being treated unfairly. Edmond leaders, meanwhile, are considering spending most of a voter-approved 10-year capital improvement sales tax on upgrades to the Covell Road corridor between Santa Fe Avenue and I-35. Engineers say five of the city's 10 worst intersections are along Covell, where traffic, crashes, and deteriorating pavement continue to worsen. The project could cost nearly $100 million, leaving funding for only a small handful of other transportation improvements. Well, if you still have leftover fireworks, don't use them in Mustang. The city's temporary 4th of July exception has expired, making all fireworks illegal within the city limits once again. Even fireworks left over because of rain delays cannot legally be used. Anyone caught setting them off could face citations and fines. A lawsuit stemming from the 2025 ammonia leak in Weatherford has been put on hold until at least January of 2027. A Custer County judge says the civil case will remain paused while the National Transportation Safety Board completes its investigation into the leak, which hospitalized 74 people and forced hundreds of people from their homes. Attorneys for victims say the delay means the families will have to wait even longer for compensation. The lawsuit accuses Airgas and other companies of negligence. Well, several Oklahoma legislative races are headed to Republican runoff elections in August, with campaign finance reports showing lawmakers, political action committees, and major donors spending thousands of dollars to support the preferred candidates. The results could influence the makeup of the legislature as Oklahoma prepares to elect a new governor. Major donors include the State Chamber of Oklahoma and House Pro Tem Anthony Moore, while several candidates also have invested very heavily in their own campaigns. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court recently returned some of your gun rights by striking down state restrictions and agreed to decide whether the Second Amendment protects AR-15-style rifles. The justices will hear challenges to bans on semi-automatic rifles from Connecticut and Cook County, Illinois. This will test whether or not these weapons are legally considered, quote, dangerous and unusual. The court also ruled 6-3 in the Hawaii case that says that Hawaii cannot ban concealed carry permit holders from bringing guns into private property open to the public without express owner permission. And the court narrowed down the federal law that automatically banned casual drug users from possessing firearms. The court will also hear oral arguments regarding semi-automatic rifle bans, most likely coming up this fall. So what does this mean to you? Let's talk a bit about it. Don Spencer with OK2A, the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association, will be joining us on this 2A Tuesday. It's 76 degrees and sunny at 746. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Got a couple of issues. The first one, westbound I-40 near Tinker involving an overturned cattle hauler. Expect lane closures there. Also, Highway 152 at Newcastle on the way to the airport.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Guns, guns, guns. Claude Hall's original OKC gun show is this weekend, July 11th and 12th at the OKC Fairgrounds. Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 4, wall-to-wall guns and ammo. For more information, visit our website at OKCGunShow.com.
Oklahoma men, remember when you were strong, awake, looked, felt so good with high libido and sex appeal? Are those days over or are you just low on testosterone? Hi, this is Greg with your Ultimate Men's Clinic. The chemicals in the food and water, medical conditions, and normal aging steal your natural testosterone. That's why you feel weak, tired, foggy, unmotivated with unexplained weight gain, poor workout results, and left with no desire for your honey. With our custom low T therapy, we designed the perfect blend of state-of-the-art lab work, peptides, and dosing to maximize your results quickly, safely, and affordably. At Ultimate Men's Clinic, we are local, discreet, and we provide unmatched patient service. Now, for a limited time, your initial consultation is free. So, what are you waiting for? Call 405-896-3000. That's 896-3000. Or on the web at menofokc.com. That's menofokc.com. And remember, when it comes to being a man, go ultimate.
Tired of hard water stains, cloudy dishes, dry skin, and mineral buildup? You don't have to call the water company. Your local experts at Service Pro Plumbing install quality water softener systems that help protect your plumbing, extend the life of your appliances, and leave your water feeling better throughout your home. Better water starts with one call. What are you waiting for? Call Service Pro Plumbing or visit serviceprookc.com right now.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
A nonstop wild week of news. It's Eric Erickson. Tune in live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9 as I navigate you through the headlines, navigate you through the breaking news, give you my thoughts on it, an analysis of what's happening, and also take your phone calls at 877-973-7425, live 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on Freedom 96.9 across Oklahoma.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Hey, that's me. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Quick check on your weather for today. It's going to be hot. Mostly sunny with a high of 94 degrees tonight. Clear skies, humid, low of 71. On Wednesday, mostly sunny, high going up to 99. Then on Thursday, partly sunny and hot. We're hitting the triple digits there, high of 100 degrees. It is 76 degrees and sunny at 749. Well, the U.S. Supreme Court recently returned some of your gun rights by striking down state restrictions and agreed to decide whether or not the Second Amendment protects AR-15-style rifles. The justices will hear challenges to bans on semi-automatic rifles from Connecticut and Cook County, Illinois. Don Spencer with OK2A, the Oklahoma Second Amendment Association, is joining us on this OK2A Tuesday. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning, sir. Oh, I'm hanging in there. It's only July, so we can expect it to be hot as hell.
Yeah, not even a little bit surprised. And we've only got another 4 months of this before it starts cooling down. So, yeah.
In fact, why don't we just, we could call the weather 6 to 3, just like the Supreme Court will rule on this, because we just know it's going to happen.
Yeah.
That you're not going to take our guns. And this, these continued desperate efforts, I wish the Supreme Court would just tell them to stop it. I wish the DOJ would go after and prosecute them on it and get this stuff behind us, because we know it's a right, it's protected, and it's not to be messed with.
I'd like to say that I'm optimistic and I agree with you, but after what they did with birthright citizenship, I don't know anymore, man.
I agree, but let's overall, they've been very consistent with Second Amendment issues. So, and the birthright citizenship was, it's more of the anomaly than I agree. They got it wrong.
They got it wrong. It was completely wrong. Because so it fosters under the assumption that those that wrote that amendment were doing so with the express purpose that they wanted people to come into our country illegally. And that's not what it was meant for. It was meant for slavery.
Right, but also, it's just go back to the other side of that a little bit. The ruling on occasional marijuana use, they went 9-0 on that.
Right.
Which I would not have predicted that.
Yeah, that was very surprising, too.
So I still think the pendulum is going to swing somewhere around that 6-3 on this. I'm tired of them messing with it. In fact, we will at OK2A request a bill to make the AR-15 the state rifle for Oklahoma.
That's a pretty cool idea. So walk me through a bit about what this means, because the AR-50, and it drives me nuts when I see it written AR-15 style rifles and assault rifles, and nobody can really define exactly what an assault rifle is.
It's not even defined in the military as far as that goes.
Right, it's just a term.
It's a visual concept. Oh my gosh, the gun is black. That's basically,
well,
you may as well
must
just say,
be scary.
You know what? I think he's got a black hammer. He's got an assault hammer.
That's right.
That it makes about that much sense.
But and let me ask you this. So you're kind of a gun guy. I've got a rifle that's not an AR style rifle that shoots a 5.56 2.3 round. It's got an extended magazine. It holds 30 rounds in that magazine. If I shoot you with that rifle, are you somehow less dead than if I shoot you with an AR-15?
Well, not only that, since is the stock made of wood? Is it real pretty?
Right.
Do you hunt deer with it or feral hogs?
Right.
You're right. The performance is the same. And the AR platform is so wide, so varied, it's like buying a car. Well, okay, so you want power windows or you want roll-up windows? You want AM/FM stereo or you just want... I mean, it's just so many options, you cannot keep up with it. And they keep coming out with more and more stuff, especially on trigger performance, that is miraculous what they're getting away with, because they're using it to get around so many problems with the ATF. And but the AR platform is a brilliant, versatile, very used item, and so there's no way it can be called anything less than a person's private protection.
Yeah, and it's great for home defense. You don't have to worry about concerns with over-penetration. I understand there are concerns about extended magazine capacity, but my AR holds 30 rounds. My pistol that I wear on my hip carries 21 rounds. So
right.
Is there really that dramatic a difference? But they were successful years ago in banning AR-style 15 weapons. So how did that happen?
That happened because Bill Clinton got a Democrat Senate and a Democrat House of Representatives, and they got 60 votes to make the closure on it and got it done, which is why I disagree with the president on the closure of trying to make it just a 51 votes instead of 60. This is, it's protected our Second Amendment rights multiple times, And so we really need to keep it like it is.
So should they make this ruling in fall, which they're expected to, what do you expect this ruling is going to look like, and what do you expect it's going to do?
I think what it's going to do is it's merely going to drive the Liberals back to the drawing board to come up with another way to try to take them from us. I think the rest of us are going to go, oh, yeah, we already knew that. Yeah, that of course, it's a gun. You can't take that from us. And so it will help embolden some, but we've got to get all of our rights back that were taken away, and this is a part of it. And like I say, it'll help us strengthen even laws in Oklahoma that still need to be fixed.
But the devil's in the details here, because the wording is it considered, quote, dangerous and unusual? Is it dangerous? Absolutely it is. If I shoot you with it, it's probably going to be a little bit dangerous. Is it unusual? Yes, it is, because it's not your standard variety of rifle. So does it meet that criterion?
Your hands misused are dangerous. So I don't know, where does that end? That line never ends, because you can say, well, people got feet. They're dangerous. They can kick someone to death.
My car is dangerous.
Exactly. All of it.
My life is unusual.
Water. Water. You can't have a swimming pool because it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So
again, my wife is dangerous and unusual. She falls under this heading.
She's just dangerous.
I'll find out for sure when I get home after making that comment on the radio.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope to get your vest on today. Okay. So anyway, but no, it's gonna. I think come down 6-3, just like we expect, and we'll just move on to the next issue that they throw up. That's what we're gonna do.
Are there any other gun issues they're gonna be bringing up or expected to bring up in the fall?
In the fall, that's a really good question. I was kind of surprised this one was coming up, to be honest, as soon as it was. So we will see. Again, we'll probably have to wait around till next June before we know anything, but we'll go from there.
So they did move forward with two other laws this past session, two other rulings, I should say. One of them, the Hawaii issue, which was an interesting one. As a recovering New Yorker, I saw this quite a bit in New York, too, where you've got the government, they're not directly imposing upon your Second Amendment rights, but they're making it so difficult for you to exercise your Second Amendment rights that you simply can't. So in New York, for example, when my mother passed away, we didn't know it, but she had a little small .38 revolver, and I wanted to keep it. And in order to do so, you had to have in New York a pistol permit, not just to carry it, but just to own a weapon. You had to do it. So I figure, okay, I'm going to go. I'm a good kid. I'm going to go through the proper channels, and I'm going to do it. So in order to do it, you had to take a month's worth of classes. The classes were every Monday morning, every Wednesday evening, and every Friday morning. And you're paying, if memory serves, was like $1,200 to take those classes. And if you work for a living, obviously you can't take those classes. But upon finishing those classes, assuming you can finish them, that doesn't give you the right to a permit. That just gives you the right to go before a judge and explain to that judge why you believe you should have a pistol permit to keep a pistol in your house. And unless you're an armed security guard or in law enforcement, the answer across the board is going to be no. So this was pretty much the same thing in Hawaii.
That's why OK2A exists, to make sure we take the stupid out of laws. And we've dealt with some almost that bad here and got them repealed and removed. So, that Second Amendment does not exist in some of these states. And Oklahoma has been one of them. We've had some horrible laws here that we've had to fix. So that's why we've got to be on guard. Just because you've got a good president and a good attorney general doesn't mean you can put your guard down. You still have to keep an eye on what they're doing and what's moving forward. And it could be moving against you.
And it doesn't mean it's going to last forever, because we see changes all the time. Don Spencer with OK2A, thanks so much for joining us on this 2A Tuesday. And thank you for joining us for Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Oklahoma City. Freedom Talk and News.
I'm Bo Beecraft. A 12-year-old girl has died after being found at the bottom.